Welcome to the special edition of Generation Justice. Tonight is March 4th, 2012 on KUNM, your community-powered public radio. This is Gada Jawad, and I'll be your host tonight.
And I'm your other host, Travis Aguilar. Generation Justice is a multimedia project that trains youth between the ages of 13 and 25 to create media that is committed to inspiring social change.
Tonight we'll talk about the epidemic of heroin and opiate addiction affecting New Mexico's youth.
Heroin is one of the most abused drugs in New Mexico. $300,000 worth of heroin is sold in Albuquerque every day. Let me say that again. $300,000 every day. In 1 year, that's close to $110 million.
For such a poor state, we are sure spending a lot on heroin. Here's another shocking fact. Today, the average heroin and opiate addict is a middle-class teenager. 30% of high school students reported that heroin is easy to get, especially close to school, and it's cheap. A small bag of heroin is cheaper than a six-pack of beer.
New Mexico leads the nation with the most drug overdose deaths. 16-year-old Haley Paternoster, a Media Arts Collaborative charter school student, lost her life to heroin addiction on April 8, 2010. This sad event inspired the Media Arts Collaborative charter schools and advanced music production students to start a music project about the dangers of drugs for teens. Tonight, we will not only feature their music, but we will talk with them about why this project and issue is so important to them.
Haley is one face of many youth we have lost to addiction. Her inspiration has led others to help before it's too late.
Many founding members of the Heroin Awareness Committee have been directly affected by the deadly consequences of heroin and opiate addiction. The group is dedicated to raising awareness about the heroin and opiate pandemic in New Mexico. Tonight, we will speak with Jennifer Wise, one of the founding members and president of the Heroin Awareness Committee.
Throughout our show, we'll be sharing the music from the MAC students. We will end our show, as always, with our community calendar.
Wow, it's going to be a great show. Stay tuned as we start out with a piece of music. First up, we will share a portion of Music Is My Drug.
This is your brain. This is your brain on music.
Did you know that only a few addicts start off using heroin? Most start out using prescription pills.
And one-third of youth, 12 and older, who have used drugs, said that their first experience with drugs was taking prescription pills.
How do teens even get prescription pills?
They obtain them through doctors giving them prescriptions for injuries, wisdom teeth getting pulled, and friends.
Prescription opiates are also used to get high by teens. There is a huge black market in our community for prescription pills. But when teens can't afford the cost of prescription pills, they turn to the cheaper, more accessible heroin.
Wow, not many people know how prominent opiate and heroin addiction is among young people. The students at MAX are trying to make sure that everyone understands the issues that face New Mexico youth. Today, Jasleen Mendoza had the opportunity to sit down with the students and talk to them about this project. Please stay tuned to hear the interview and the title cut from the music CD, Haley, We Miss You.
Hi, my name is Jasleen Mendoza, and I'm with Generation Justice. I'm here today with Mr. Blake Minerli and the students from the Vance Music Production class from Media Arts Collaborative Charter School. Would you like to introduce yourselves?
I'm Callan Harris. I'm 17 years old. I'm one of the people featured on the album, play drums and make beats for the album.
I'm Isaac Lehman. I do background vocals on a lot of songs. I make beats for the album and I help with writing, stuff like that. I play guitar too.
My name is Alexander Wilson. I'm 17 years old and I am originally from a small town in Massachusetts. I just moved here about 3 years ago. I am a musician and I've been helping write a lot of the songs in the album and I also enjoy making beats and things like that.
My name is Ruben Valenzuela. I also attend Max, and I am an upcoming underground artist, and it's just a pleasure to be here.
My name is Blake Minerly. I'm the instructor of the advanced music production class at Max, and yeah, I just opened the door and let these guys do their thing.
Tell us a bit about the project you're working on and why you got involved in it.
Well, the advanced music production class was formed last year because I wanted to have a class that would focus really on production, where the purpose of the course would be not so much to try this technique or try that technique, but to actually make a full CD. And I knew that I wanted that project to be linked somehow to an issue of social justice or an issue of social action that would resonate with teens. And so when we got together, we did some brainstorming about how we could make an album that would also make some sort of positive difference in the world. And a couple years earlier, a fellow student, Haley Paternoster, had passed away, overdosed from heroin. And that was still kind of a little bit of an open wound on the school, something that some people were still grieving about and something that I think we didn't fully really know how to process yet. So we threw out the idea that we could maybe make an album dedicated to Haley. And the hope, of course, would be that by making that album, we'd be raising awareness about the danger of heroin addiction, this trend that's kind of going off the charts, unfortunately, here in New Mexico recently, and hopefully maybe prevent a few people from going down the same path she did.
So, Blake, as a teacher, why is this important to you?
Obviously, first, there's just the initial mission of the project, which is honestly to try and save some lives. You know, hopefully we can make a difference in some teen's life who is at a crossroads, at a place where they could go down either one of two roads, and one of those might lead to heroin addiction, and we're hoping that we can prevent that from happening. Another way that I think it's important is that students have an opportunity to work on projects that are authentic, meaning that they represent true engagement with the community and true engagement with the outside world. It's not just something that's for school where you turn in a paper, or you turn it, not that there's anything wrong with that, but this is an activity that really is taking us out into the world and trying to make a difference. The final thing I would just say is that I think it's extremely important that if there is to be messages, if there are to be sort of messages meant to raise awareness about drugs aimed at youth, they need to be made by youth. Because otherwise those messages are just not going to have the realism and the authenticity that they need for other young people to really take them seriously.
Why is this important for our community?
Heroin addiction, and not just heroin addiction, but just drug addiction, is a real problem in New Mexico especially, and it's becoming a more and more big problem, especially in high school. And so for people to hear a message like this coming from high school students directed towards other high school students is just really powerful, and hopefully it will be able to enact some sort of change in our community.
So, Blake, I know you have a campaign for this music. Can you tell me a little bit about it?
Our basic goal, besides recording the album, is to make a music video of the title track and then to distribute a DVD of that video and the album to every school in Albuquerque. Every middle school, every high school. And in order to do that, we need a significant amount of funds. And as most people know, the budget situation in our state is not very good for education right now. And so if that was going to happen, we had to do it ourselves. So we took advantage of a new phenomenon that's really been taking off over the last few years called crowdfunding, which allows you to design a project, make a little pitch video, and put that up on an internet site that's dedicated towards getting the word out about those kinds of projects, and it allows people to then donate. The site that we chose is Indiegogo. If people were interested in finding that campaign, they can go to Indiegogo.com, IndieGogo.com, and they can do a search for Sound Oven, SoundOven, one word, no space, and they'll see our campaign pop right up, and we would love any kind of support that we can get, monetary or otherwise.
Now we will listen to the song, Haley, We Miss You, which is the title track of the CD.
Mm-hmm. come and get you, so your dad can hug and kiss you. I wish you never went through the pain of being misused, abused by sick dudes with issues. Like, it's cool, but it's sad, I get mad. I wish you were in school right now. Tell the haters pipe down and put the pipe down. Listen to this tight sound. It's midnight now, I'ma make it in this music. For everyone who wasn't around to see me do it, and for everyone who clowned and said that I couldn't do it. While the angels looking down, all the haters looking stupid. The ones I knew say I knew it and applause. Cause what set me apart is the heart and my bars. Now you're in the stars and you said it from the start. You used to look like an angel, now you actually are.
Haley, we miss you. Wish your mama could kiss you. Why'd your angel have to fly away? Hey, we miss you. Wish your daddy could kiss you. How many sisters and brothers have to die to lose
my acquaintance? But now I'm praying for your soul, your family, and anyone who's hating. This is a real world, my motivation. So now I'm straying to the story that I'm portraying. I also lost a friend, these wounds I can't mend. He hit a dead end, drugs were the dividends. And I commend your family, no pretend. It's a rough world, but living in you must bend. So keep your head up, your future will be glistening. And think twice before you stick that needle in. Stay in school is better than imprisonment. And separate yourself from hard drugs and heroin. I remind you, my friend, I'll never see again. So don't depend on drugs or a stupid trance. I can't comprehend what the family's going through. This is something you just can't undo. Cause
Haley, we miss you. Wish your mama could kiss you. Why'd your angel have to fly away? Haley, we miss you. Wish your daddy could kiss you. How many sisters and brothers have to die to?
Didn't accept the future. Listen to me, Haley, we saw we had to lose ya. But the world around us just wasn't ready for a girl with a bright future. It's hard to let it turn over as we watch the news. Another angel lost and abused with a drug at a dire cost. Now we watch the prince disappear in the sand, but the pain is still around and it's hard to withstand. As we watch the night turn to day, another sunrise without you is a pain. I know I never met you, but if I could go back, I would change a simple thought. I would scream from the rooftop, but it's no good. But you an angel now and back in the old hood. Where things are beautiful and the light remains. But in the meanwhile, I just gotta say,
Haley, we miss you. Wish your mama could kiss you. Why'd your angel have to fly? Wish your daddy could kiss you. How many sisters and brothers have to die today? Haley, we miss you. Wish your mama could kiss you. Why'd your angel have to fly away? Haley, we miss you. Wish your daddy could kiss you. How many sisters and brothers have to die today?
Can you tell us a little bit about that song, Haley, We Miss You?
Well, the title track, Haley, We Miss You, the chorus is based around her friends and family wishing that she was still around. And the song mostly, well, at least my perspective on the song, my verse talks about a friend of mine who passed away, also overdosed on opiates.
How long have you been working on the songs?
Isaac here. We started working on the songs back in August, where we finished four so far, and it's going pretty good. And I think we've made some good progress, and we're on our way.
Yeah, we have four songs so far. One is obviously about Haley, We Miss You. And then there's a song called Music Is My Drug, which is about how music can be an outlet, you know, to get all your feelings out as opposed to doing something horrible that could ruin your whole life.
Another song that we've written is called The 505. It's just about the Albuquerque area and about some of the things that go down here, just the violence and a lot of the bad things, but then it also sort of reflects on the positive aspects of living here, and it sort of has a message that for every, you know, dark tunnel, there's a light of hope.
Yeah. Another song on the album, one of my favorites actually, is a song called Drug Peace. It's a song that's it's kind of a broader subject. It's about the whole drug war in general. Because when you think about everything that's happening with teens in Albuquerque or in Mexico, it all kind of goes back to how all the whole drug war started. Although people would still have drug problems, it seems that making it criminal and the drug war, it's a larger effect on people.
Yeah, I think the song is mostly about, like, I guess how the drug war is hypocritical in a sense, how there's pharmacies can make drugs available for use and people overdose on it every day. 100,000 people die a year to pharmaceuticals, whereas, you know, they're going out and kids will get however many years in jail for having a little bit of something else on them, you know?
Yeah, and what starts a lot of kids on heroin is Oxycontin, which is a legal drug. I mean, people get prescribed Oxycontin by their doctor and go pick it up at Walgreens. Yeah. I mean, people don't realize that that's an opiate. That's like what gets people into heroin. That pretty much is a form of heroin.
And I think another thing about the song is how the alcohol and tobacco companies, they're the biggest funders for the war on drugs. You know, tonight 15,000 people are going to die for alcohol-related deaths. And by the end of this year, 5 million people will be dead by cigarette-related deaths. And yet they're the ones who are funding this so-called drug war.
Thank you. 16-year-old Haley Paternoster was an inspiration for your title track. Haley, We Miss You. What are the inspirations behind your other songs?
There's several inspirations behind, like Alex said, there's a song based around the 505, this horrible yet awesome place that we all live in.
Ups and downs. This is Isaac. And a big contribution that I'm making to the album is a reworking remix of a song written by Cameron Weiss, a kid that unfortunately died of heroin also. He had written a really powerful song, but the production wasn't to the point that we could get it, so I went in there and I added a lot of things to it to give power to his words and just have it flow better.
This is Callan. What he's getting at is this: it's a really powerful song. It's about a kid who's addicted to opiates, and he talks about the start of how it all happened. He started off, you know, just a weekend in a bathroom full of friends, you know, didn't think anything would turn of it. And the eerie part about the song is he talks about being dead as if his mom was already crying over him. And so it's really spine-chilling just to listen to it.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're hearing the words of someone that is now deceased speaking about that, like, he knows he's going to die, and, like, he knows that. I mean, it gives you the chills, definitely, just to hear it, especially how much I worked on it, and just hearing it over and over again, it really gets to you.
This is Alex. That song, I mean, maybe the most powerful out of all of them, because it has some real emotion behind it.
Just hearing from someone that actually went through it and
not even went through it. Yeah, like, was going through it.
Was going through it when he wrote the song. And, I mean, speaking, I mean, that's probably the most...
As real as it's going to get.
Yeah, real as it's going to get. Like, you don't hear anything more from the heart than that. I mean, speaking about his addiction while he's addicted.
And now he's deceased.
And now he's deceased. I mean, hearing those words, it's like the most sincere thing you could ever hear.
One thing I wanted to add, too, that I was just wondering for you guys, if part of it was that Cameron actually died while we were in production. So we had already started the project, had started writing songs, and Jennifer Weiss, Cameron's mom, had come into our classroom at one point and is very involved in the Heroin Awareness Committee and was going to the city council. And so when her son died and then she brought us that song, it was like kind of a message about what we were trying to prevent, you know. And here was someone who had... we, in a way, had failed because we weren't ready yet. We hadn't made it yet, and we couldn't make a difference in his life. But his own words and his own message were given us to another chance to try and prevent it from happening to somebody else. And that was, for me, very powerful.
Yeah. Floyd and I actually got the chance to be there filming at one of the Heroin Awareness Committees. And, we saw Cameron's mom there, and she was definitely very emotional and very into it, and she really wanted to get the message out that this is happening, you know, all over the country, and it needs.
And that's a strong woman. She was there the Monday after the Saturday that her son passed away, holding a sign of him, like 2 days after. Like I don't
understand.
Yeah,
not only that, but she was able to speak in front of a whole crowd of people
and hold her composure.
A couple days after her son just died. This is Isaac. The next song you're going to hear is a remix / reworking that I did for a song written by Cameron Weiss, another kid that unfortunately overdosed and is now deceased. It's really a powerful song. His words, they'll get stuck in your head. I mean, in the time that I was working on it, it really touched me. And it's really powerful stuff, and I hope you enjoy it.
Its life-destroying poison on the careless, the unwary, the unprotected.
Just when we get in a bathroom full of homies, I was introduced to something that is phony. It tells you and promises you will set you free, but I'm thinking to myself, does this substance even know me? No, but the obsession does. As you drift into an eye-slouching buzz, you just smelt the fragrance, felt the temptation, and y'all already know here comes the justification.
Life-destroying poison.
Pretty soon you don't even mind melting into that compound that's known as the devil's rebound. It's consumed you now and you've been tricked. You don't even know where you're headed. All I can say is you're diverging from the one-way track to heaven. You've been redirected to a one-way track to hell. Well, it only gets worse from here, because now you've taken the initial fear and watched it disappear. The care is gone, it's hard to get it back. Your mindset is whack once you've taken the step to the point of no return. You are puppeted and sick, and the devil's power you are fixed. When you find your rig to hit the vein and prolong the sickness that still remains, the normality of the routine, it seems. The drug itself is taking a toll on the brain and the way you think. The utter brink of insanity, but in the mind of an addict, it's like, when I'm strong on me, I can do anything. You've been redirected to a one-way track to hell. Well, it only gets worse from here, because now you've taken the initial fear and watched it disappear. The care is gone, it's hard to get it back. Your mindset is whack once you've taken the step to the point of no return. You are puppeted and sick, and the devil's power you are fixed. When you find your rig to hit the vein and prolong the sickness that still remains.
Poison, 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 poison.
But see, now when you're high, you feel as though life is conceivable. But the truth is, those are all illusions of self-satisfaction and reassurance. The drug twists your brain so fast, so quick. You don't even know what you're doing. You're still young and unconsciously pursuing the one-way track to hell without even knowing. It's gonna take the soul to see it fix the sickness just taken from me, because I went through hell to find myself within divinity and the mode to change and get off that hellish train. But when you're stuck in your brain, things seem to move so fast, it's hard to notice or recollect how many times you poked your past. Not contemplating straight taunt of your brain. Needles and tweezers are no different. It's a progressive disease. And before you know it, you're screaming at the top of your lungs, throwing a dope fit.
Out of the slime and the darkness it comes to inflict its life-destroying poison on the careless, the unwary, the unprotected.
Now this is where my mind starts to quiver and shake, because it's hell for some and even worse for others. But in the end, law enforcement won't be writing letters to your mother's not in fun and not in happiness, but in sadness and sorrow. Miss Robin's little Jimmy just took the train. He's moving at top speed. The one-way track to hell took him there, but he didn't even care. All he perceives is he's high, the needle just took him there. Just like that, his hope was unexpected but quickly infected. The veins of Jimmy making his body shake. Pins and needles are there too. He's hurting now. Everywhere is hurting now. Eyes behind his head. Now there's vomit on the bed. And now it is done. In this case, the devil is won. Just like that, unintentional suicide of your life and intentional destruction of your soul. Now he's in a hole with the grip of flowers. Mama. One-way track to heaven. You've been redirected to a one-way track to hell. Well, it only gets worse from here, because now you've taken the initial fear and watched it disappear. The care is gone, it's hard to get it back. Your mindset is whack once you've taken the step to the point of no return. You are puppeted and sick, and the devil's power you are fixed. When you find your rig to hit the vein and prolong the sickness that still remains. Crying, bawling, can't stand up. Only child died as a young pup. 17 is engraved into our eyes, and since then it's only led to numbers and names, for depression is the same game. Now Miss Robbins has lost the remaining will. She's broken the sill. She's boarded the one-way track to hell. People at the
end so fast. It's like no time has even passed. Miss Robbins is now among the dead too. Psych meds and oxys will capture you too. And that is the truth, as harsh as it seems. That is the truth, that is the truth, that is the truth.
Out of the slime and darkness it comes to inflict its life-destroying poison on the careless, the unwary, the unprotected. Poison, 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 poison.
So, listening to all your stories and perspectives, I actually thought of my own, and I actually want to do something about this as well. Because I also have a few friends and probably family members that are doing this, and before it's too late, I want to stop it and at least try to get in their lives and make a difference and show them that they could do other things than do this and waste their life and do nothing, just kill them themselves. And I agree with each and every one of you guys. It makes me think about how this issue is becoming so unknown, and it makes me want to stop it. And so I would like to start like an awareness group as well in school, talk about drugs, not only heroin, but in general, all drugs that are available nowadays. And in addition, with your guys' CDs and videos that you want to distribute, I agree, and it'll be a great way to show how you feel about this problem of drug addiction in general. And in addition, I want to add that it'll be a great way in remembrance of all those who have died of a drug overdose. So, do you have a message for those who are struggling with an addiction or to their loved ones?
This is Callan. I would say you're not alone. I have friends right now, and I hope they're hearing this, like, that have problems, you know, do opiates, like, smoke heroin. Like, it's not a big deal, but, like, heroin is a lot, not even just heroin, drugs in general are a lot more dangerous than they used to be. It's nothing to play around with. It's hard to admit that you have a problem, but that's the first step, just accepting that you need help.
Definitely. Ruben here. What I, you know, my advice is, the best quote I've ever heard is, really keep your head up. Don't let anything slow you down. Whatever goal you have to achieve in life, go for that goal.
There's a lot of people out there who want to help you. It's not like you would be impeding on anybody by getting help, you know? Yeah. There's people out there that their job is to help people who are suffering from addiction. And, you know, there's no reason that you shouldn't just take advantage of that and use it to the best of your ability, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and it is a life or death issue.
I have a message, and one of the things that really is crushing sometimes to me is when somebody gets in that situation where they find themselves just overwhelmed by an addiction, they start feeling so bad about themselves. They're beating themselves up so much, and they're getting that message maybe sometimes that they're a criminal, that they're a failure, all those things. And the only thing that does is make it harder to get help and make it easier to go get that quick fix and just dull the pain. You know, if part of the pain is from your own voice telling yourself how crappy you are, you know. So the first thing I would say is, you're not crappy, you're sick. And you just need some help, just like someone who has the flu or diabetes needs help. And that help is out there. Unfortunately, not as much of it as we would like. And that's something that we hope to achieve, too. But first thing, reclaim yourself as a person who deserves health and happiness and success, no matter what has happened in the past.
Yeah, it's not your fault.
You can always get back up on your feet. Not too late. Never too late.
Stay high on life, not on drugs. You know, it's a wonderful place. Like we said, there's people out there if you need help, and if not, then keep your head up and anything's possible.
Take the needle at your arm, put the needle on the track.
Yeah.
Thank you. So is there anything else you'd like to add?
It's Blake here. We really do need your help. In order for a lot of this to happen, we need to raise the funds to make it happen. We're raising the funds ourselves. People probably know this is a very tight budgetary situation in education right now. So all of the funds that are going to be used for the duplication of the CD, for getting this message out there, are being raised via a crowdfunding site that we have created on Indiegogo.com. That's Indiegogo.com. And if anyone would like to support this work, they can go to that site and search for Sound Oven. That's SoundOven, one word, no space. That's the name of our little sort of youth media incubator within Max. And you can support us just with Great Job Guys or financially. And we very much appreciate any support that we can get.
Yeah, even if it's just spreading the link around.
Is there anyone you'd like to mention?
Yeah, we'd probably like to thank Steve Paternoster, Haley's father, who's been extremely supportive throughout this whole project.
He came in shortly after we started this whole project, and he just sort of helped us get inspired about this whole thing and sort of got us going on this whole project.
Definitely backed it 100%.
Yeah.
Also wanted to give a shout-out to Jennifer Weiss, who's been so involved with the Heroin Awareness Committee and advocating for this cause to the city and everyone else who will listen, and who brought Cameron's song to us to redo. And just also a shout-out to Principal Void and all the other teachers at Max who have supported this project and really make it happen every day and give us a place that we're all pretty grateful to get up in the morning and come to.
I enjoy talking to each one of you. I took in mind each message you guys gave, which makes me want to do something for this as well. I was Jocelyn Mendoza from Generation Justice, and I want to thank you guys for this interview.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
No, it's our pleasure.
Most definitely.
Wow, this is an important project, especially for New Mexico. High school students in New Mexico are more likely to try opiates than the national average. This is an issue that we all can get behind.
It sure is. New Mexico youth are using drugs at a younger age than the national average. More 8th graders have tried opiates than 12th graders. And heroin is the fastest growing drug used among New Mexico youth. It is obvious that drugs are prevalent in our community.
Sadly, in New Mexico, however, there are few youth treatment facilities, and families often have to send young addicts to other states to seek help. Youth around New Mexico are not seeing the danger in trying opiates.
That's right. Often people start by using prescription pills, and when those opiates become too expensive, heroin is the cheapest next best thing. 40% of high school student seniors don't realize that heroin is dangerous because they can smoke it like marijuana.
The Heroin Awareness Committee here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, was formed in April 2010 to provide education to parents, teens, educators, legislators, and healthcare professionals about the drug epidemic in our community.
Melissa Harris from Generation Justice spoke with Jennifer Wise, founder and president of the Heroin Awareness Committee.
Hi, I'm Melissa Harris. I'm with Generation Justice. I'm here today with Jen Weiss, the co-founder and president of the Heroin Awareness Committee. Welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Melissa. Thanks for having me.
So I was wondering if you can kind of explain to us, what is the Heroin Awareness Committee?
The Heroin Awareness Committee is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that I founded in April of 2010. And our primary goals is awareness and education surrounding opiate addiction. So not just heroin, but prescription drug abuse and, you know, drug abuse in general that a lot of our youth are experiencing. So we like to do shows like this, get the information out in the community, talk to young people, and just try and raise the awareness about the epidemic that we're facing.
Wow, great. So why did you start the Heroin Awareness Committee?
I started it because of my experiences with my son. So my son was 16 at the time. He began using prescription opiates due to a wrestling injury when he was 15 and was exposed to those drugs through a legitimate injury. But that gradually progressed to a heroin addiction. He loved the way they made him feel. They made him just kind of took away all his cares and took away all his worries. And he was able to, you know, just feel wonderful when he took them. And so in August of 2009, he started using heroin, which at the time I had no idea that he was doing that. And I found out in February of 2010, so about 6 months later, after months and months and months of trying to figure out what was going on. I knew something was going on. I just didn't know what it was. His attitude had changed. He was angry all the time. He would disappear for hours at a time and wouldn't respond to my text messages or phone calls. He was ditching school. He dropped out of the sports that he was doing. You know, his attitude changed, and a lot of it was adolescent-type behavior. So there was a big part of me that was thinking I was just being paranoid, that he was just, you know, spreading his wings. He was 16 years old at the time, and he was just, you know, becoming a teenager, basically. And I chalked a lot of it up to that. But then, you know, looking back and now knowing what the warning signs are, it was all over the place, and I just didn't see it. So once I found out that he was doing it, that it was heroin, which I was extremely shocked because I had no idea that heroin was a problem in our schools or communities. I thought that was something from the 1970s that people just didn't talk about anymore. Then we started treatment options. I mean, once you find out your loved one's a heroin addict, you just hit the ground running with everything that you can find, everything that's available to you, which isn't much. But we tried everything, and he struggled for 2 years, and he passed away August 13th of 2011 of a heroin overdose. And he passed away in his bed. He had been in jail, and that's another effect of heroin addiction, is eventually they're going to have to steal to support their habit, and eventually they're going to do things that they wouldn't normally do, and they're going to get arrested eventually. I mean, it's just a path that most heroin addicts take because that's all they care about is the drug. And all the ethics and everything else kind of go out the window. So he ended up in jail 2 weeks after he turned 18. And he was able to bounce off and on between periods of being clean and sober and periods of relapse for about the next year. And then overdosed on August 13th and passed away in his bed. So that was my driving force, was him. I don't know if I found myself in this. I think looking back, I probably thought that I was putting myself in a protective bubble because it's like, well, if I do all this stuff, then it can't happen to me kind of thing, you know, which was completely, you know, idiotic for me to even think that. And I don't think I outwardly thought that, but I think that that's kind of my motive, was that, you know, if I do this stuff, if I can find all these treatment options, I can get connections, I can save my kid this way. This is the way that I can save him. And little did I know, I couldn't save him from himself. I couldn't save him from the addiction. He was the only one that could do that. And in the end, it won.
So how did it get started? Because it's a pretty new organization.
Yeah, it's very grassroots. I started it actually in my living room. There was about 10 people that I assembled. And our primary goal at first was just to create an awareness run. So we did a 5K fun run at La Cueva High School. And we threw it together in 3 weeks. So that was our goal, was to just raise awareness that direction. And at the time, we were focused on La Cueva because that's where my son went to school. And we were hoping to have 50 people show up to the run, and we ended up having 350 people show up. Uh-huh. And at that point, we realized this was a huge issue. And there were people from all over the city. It wasn't just La Cueva. But when they heard that we were doing it and what the mission was, the people that were impacted directly by it showed up in droves. And so we had this huge turnout for something that we didn't expect to happen. So it just kind of grew from there. After that, we started getting requests to do other things, to speak at schools. We did a presentation at La Cueva shortly thereafter that had 250 people, presentations at various schools from then on. So just kind of grew really through osmosis, I guess.
So you said that you do a lot of speaking arrangements. What other kind of things do you do to raise awareness?
We do things during the legislative session. So we try and work with senators to sponsor bills that we feel like will make a difference to either the supply of drugs that are on the street, access to those drugs, or just things that would hopefully reduce the problem that we're facing. We also do fundraising events because we are a nonprofit, so all of our money that we raise goes right back into the community. But, you know, we did a silent auction with the Media Arts Collaborative Charter School in December. So we tried to get a large group of people there and just try and, you know, almost a different segment of the population, because we had a silent auction. So we were drawing in people that we wanted, you know, to buy the items that we had up for bid, and then also educate them about the problem at the same time. So awareness events, fundraising events. We've done talks, community talks at UNM Continuing Education. We go into, I've done speaking engagements at the prison in Santa Fe to the prison guards. We've done presentations to the Youth Juvenile Detention Center. Just really anybody, because there's so many people that are affected by this, and it's such a broad audience that we don't limit who we speak to at all. It's anybody we can get our hands on, church groups, anybody.
Great. So how many people are currently involved in the program, in the Heroin Awareness Committee?
So we have two types of memberships. We have an active membership, which we do have a $25 annual membership fee. And those members are what I call, those are the bread and butter. Those are the people that, where the rubber meets the road. They're the ones that, that put together all these events. And there's about 25 of us, and there's probably about 10 that are very, very active. And then we have volunteer status members, and they're just people that we can call on whenever we have events. When we went up to Santa Fe and we're lobbying for certain bills, you know, we have a broad email list that includes all those volunteers, and we just, you know, we're asking people to go up in droves and just kind of show support for these bills. So it's just kind of as needed as people have time.
Wow. So who's on that list? Who are your kind of, I guess, bread and butter of the project?
It's all people that have been directly affected by heroin addiction and by prescription drug abuse. Unfortunately, most people on the committee have lost their child to a heroin overdose. So I would say, you know, a lot of the families that are on the committee, probably, I can't off the top of my head, probably a little bit more than half have lost a child. The other half have children who are still struggling, who are either in recovery right now or are still struggling with it in their daily lives. So it's all people that are directly affected. It's grandparents that are affected, relatives. They want to make a difference because they saw what happened to them and they don't want it to happen to anybody else.
So what do you hope to accomplish with this committee?
Our ultimate goal is to open up an adolescent treatment center. I mean, that's our ultimate goal, because New Mexico just doesn't have treatment facilities for adolescents. So we've got these young kids getting addicted at alarming rates, and there's no place for them to go for help. And so our ultimate goal is to build an adolescent treatment center. And when we started out the committee, it was really awareness and education. And we hit the ground running with that. And now I think we've accomplished a lot of that. I mean, we've raised the awareness. I feel like we've gotten people talking about it. We've got the media outlets talking about it. It's been in the newspaper several times. You know, I feel like we've had a successful turnout with regards to raising the awareness and the education. Now it's kind of like, okay, we've done that and we continue to do that. We won't stop doing that. But we've got this huge gap that needs to be filled. And we hope to close that gap as well and open up some type of treatment center, or some type of, maybe not even a treatment center per se, like an inpatient treatment center, but treatment resources that people that need help can get access to.
Well, that's great, because I know that there are treatment centers in general. There are very few that you can get in for addictions, and especially for youth, it's usually out of state. So
right.
I think that's such a great thing to bring to New Mexico, because we need it.
Yeah, we do. I mean, when you got a 16 or 17-year-old that's addicted to opiates, sending them out of state is just tough. They need their family. The family needs education on the addiction as well, because many times the families, they have no idea what's about to hit them. You know, the train that they're about to get hit by, they have no clue. They need education and training and counseling as well. And when you don't have that, you can't just send your kid off to a 28-day treatment program in another state and expect them to come back and be fine, because that's just not the case. It's a long, long road, and we don't have anything for kids to get that help that they need.
Why is this such an important issue in our community?
Well, unfortunately, we're ranked number one in the nation for unintentional drug overdose deaths. So New Mexico tops the charts when it comes to the number of people that are dying due to unintentional overdoses. So, and 40% of those deaths are caused by prescription opiates, and a large percentage of the rest of that group is from heroin overdose. So, in fact, in New Mexico, it's more likely for someone to die of a drug overdose than it is a car accident.
Wow.
And if you think about all the cars that are on the road and all the people that are on the road and the likelihood of getting in a car accident, it's pretty high. And you're more likely to lose your child to a drug overdose, which I think people think, oh, it can't happen to me, not in my backyard. We live in a good neighborhood. I have a good job. You know, I'm safe. I'm secure from that type of environment, and nobody's safe. So, you know, we've topped the nation. And high school students in New Mexico are more likely to experiment with illicit drugs than any other state. You know, we top the charts in all these areas that we don't want to be part of. You know, we want to do whatever we can to reduce those numbers, not increase them.
Well, thank you so much. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
We do have a website, www.saynotoheroin.org, and we have a calendar of events on that website. We post everything that we're doing. We have a lot of resources for treatment options, both in-state and out-of-state. So we try, and as we hear of resources, we try and update that list as fast as we can so people can go there for assistance. We also have a Facebook page where we post information as well. And our email address is on the website and on the Facebook page. So if people want to contact us, they can feel free to do that.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us about this. It's really amazing the work that you guys are doing, and I'm excited to see the next step of it and to get the treatment facility.
Great. Thanks, Melissa. Thanks for having me.
Wow, heroin addiction is a lifelong issue.
It's great to know that people are fighting to make sure that everyone knows about this issue and that they are fighting to be able to help the youth get better in New Mexico.
Yeah, it's wonderful that they are trying to build a treatment facility here, especially because this is a big issue here in New Mexico with youth. I'm surprised we don't already have one.
Me too, but hopefully soon the work of Jen Wise and the Heroin Awareness Committee will provide us with a new place in New Mexico. Thank you, Jen Wise, for joining us to discuss your work.
This is Alex here. This next tune that you guys are going to hear is called The 505. It was inspired just by a lot of the experiences that all of us have had living here in Albuquerque, because a lot of us have sort of experienced a lot of the really bad, crappy things that can happen to you here. But then we've also sort of, you know, experienced a lot of really good things and a lot of good memories that we've made here. So basically, just the theme of the song is that for every dark tunnel, there's a light of hope.
In a city where there's so much dark and light, where you're surrounded by wrong and right, it's a blessing and a curse just staying alive. Just another day in the 505. Where joy meets fright and the day is night, the blind gain sight and the peaceful fight, the best and the worst just trying to survive. Just another day in the 505. Certain little places out of the United States, they should come and have a waste, but believe me, there's no grace. A life full of hardships, a life full of poverty, a life full of druggies that impacted hard on me. Broken family and a broken home, I despise it, but thankful for the way you made me grow. If you live in all the dirty, then you're gonna pay your toll. Residing in this crazy city sure makes you know how to roll. With the dogs from the southwest that know what's best and like to play for what it chest. I guess you're just a guest in this bitch. You're a aggressor, I spill it to rip your flesh. Either way, you're in a mess. A bouquet is your address. Certainly you will test your capability of stress. I'm worse than a curse, and I'm first, not second best. I used to be an angel, but the city made me devilish. People say I'm local, that ain't you, I'm just a mental. In a city where there's so much dark and light, where you're surrounded by wrong and right, it's a blessing and a curse just staying alive. Just another day in the 505. Where joy meets fright and the day is night, the blind gain sight and the peaceful fight, the best and the worst just trying to survive. Just another day in the 505. Witty up and down like a pogo. Rebuke us, it's tricky, dunking lobos and drunken hobos. Isotopes, base to base, it doesn't trouble. We ain't pros, bro. Just a part of 505, we got high hopes, though. Meth heads on deathbeds and criminals in the streets. Forget what the rest said, we're in Albuquerque. Checkmates on chess sets, the best indeed. We're coming for your queens, but this is King Duke City. Where the Spanish arrive, and it's hard to survive. With the crackheads and dirt threads, needles in the drain pipe. Stayed up all night, contemplating life. Where the drugs are sold, just no one is told. We wake to the sunlight as things go bump at night. Striving for success is what we know best, but we living in the southwest where every day's a test. Pero solo es otro día en el 505. In a city where there's so much dark and light, where you're surrounded by wrong and right, it's a blessing and a curse just staying alive. Just another day in the 505.
What's up, Generation Justice listeners? I'm Bashar Dua, and I'm your calendar host for tonight.
And I'm your other host, Jocelyn Tafoya. Tonight, we're going to be talking about very important events.
Yeah? Man, I have no plans for this Friday.
You don't? Did you not hear about Youth Power?
What's that?
Youth Power, or Youth Power Promoting Our Wellness and Encouraging Resilience. Every second and fourth Friday of the month, Youth Power meets for leadership training and youth jamming planning sessions.
What do you learn there?
Well, you learn about how to be a strong leader, how to make a difference in your community, how to be courageous, and how to tell a story.
Wow, that sounds really cool. When is this meeting?
Meetings are every second and fourth Friday from 5 to 7:30 p.m. at the APS City Center. The address is 6400 Uptown Northeast. The next meeting will be held on March 9th, and for more information, you can call Sarah Coach at 505-610-8295.
Ah, sweet. Youth Jam is always a blast.
I've never been, but I've heard it's great.
It's awesome. Youth Jam is youth organized to help prevent suicide, substance, and alcohol abuse and to promote healthy choices for youth.
Youth Jam also has a talent competition.
They're looking for bands, poets, dancers, and whoever thinks they got some kind of talent. Don't wait, because applications are due April 15th.
Get ready to jam out. Youth Jam will be held on May 5th at Warehouse 508. And for more information, don't forget to contact Sarah at 505-610-8295.
Well, now I have plans for this Friday. Thanks.
There are always great community events that talk about real issues.
True, true. One such group that often has socially conscious events is the Center for Peace and Justice.
That's right. Center for Peace and Justice is joining Libro Traficante in the protesting for Tucson book ban.
Tucson has passed a law banning the teaching of classes for ethnic studies in public schools. Books were banned.
The books banned were by any and all authors that were on the curriculum for Mexican-American study classes.
Libro Traficante is a Texas-based caravan made up of many authors to protest the book ban. They will be traveling from Houston, Texas to Tucson, Arizona, quote, smuggling books over the border.
What are some of the books that got banned?
Well, there's a few, like Occupied America, A History of Chicanos by Rodolfo Acuña, Rethinking Columbus, The Next 500 Years by Bill Bigelow, and Message to Aztlan by Rodolfo Corky Gonzalez.
Those sounded like pretty interesting books.
Yep, they sure are.
Before Libro Traficante Caravan get to Arizona, they're making a stop in Albuquerque Thursday, March 15th for multiple press conferences. Book Bash y Mas.
For more information, call 505-268-9567.
This is a hot button issue, especially in the Southwest.
I hope somehow there can be some sort of a peaceful resolution.
Yeah, but people never want to listen to other people and their sides of the story. Until people are willing to talk together, they cannot truly peacefully solve a situation.
That is what the Center for Peace and Justice is fighting for. They're hosting a dialogue, What Would Peace Look Like?, which will have people practicing, listening to others whom they disagree, and hearing the other side.
Deep listening and openness is understanding other sides of an issue that can be a bridge to peace.
You can join this discussion Saturday, March 17th from 1:30 to 3:30. For more information, call 505-243-6174.
I think this is a concept that everyone should look into.
For sure. Hey, Jocelyn, do you drink coffee?
Of course I drink coffee.
Well, make sure it is a fair trade coffee.
What's fair trade?
Fair trade is promoting higher environmental and social standards and paying higher. Fair trade endorses better trading conditions and seeks greater equity in international trade.
Wow, I never really thought about the conditions on where my coffee came from.
To learn more, Fair Trade Initiative is hosting a film event called People Before Profit. They'll be showing Bitter Seeds, a film about how biotechnology is changing the way farming is done all over the world. The film explores the controversy from advocates who believe that biotechnology is the only way to provide sufficient food for the growing population to opponents who raise environmental and social concerns and fear that this will drive small farmers off the land.
This will be shown on Monday, March 5th at 7 p.m. in the UNM sub-theater.
There are a lot of great community events in Albuquerque.
There sure is. Not only are there great events, but there are also great organizations that work in New Mexico.
These organizations work in New Mexico to better our community.
Tonight on the show, we heard about one such great organization, the Heroin Awareness Committee.
They are actively trying to raise awareness in the community about the heroin and opiate addiction problem.
Their website, saynotoheroin.org, is an awesome place to find information about this issue.
If you are concerned about someone in your life having an addiction, the website has great information on where to seek help.
Naranon has weekly meetings. Naranon members are relatives and friends who are concerned about the addiction or drug problems of another. For more information, you can go to www.naranon.org or you can contact Elaine Gutierrez at 505-974-3152. You can also contact Jennifer Weiss at 505-363-9684.
Meetings are every Monday from 7 to 8 p.m. at New Beginnings Church, 3601 Montgomery Boulevard, Northeast. Next week on our show, we will continue with our series on heroin and opiate addiction awareness.
We will feature parents who have lost their children to heroin addiction.
Please join us next week, Sunday, March 11th, right here on KUNM at 7 p.m. for these moving interviews.
Well, that's the end of this week's Community Calendar. I was your calendar host, Jocelyn Tafoya.
And I was your other host, Bashar Jawad. Now back to our host.
Thank you, Bashar and Jocelyn Tafoya, for taking us to the wonderful world of calendar. Here is Kaylin with the next song.
All right, this next tune is called The Drug Peace, as in the opposite of a drug war, as in why is there a drug war in the first place? The song shines light on the hypocrisy behind the drug war, how the drug war was started back in the 70s, I believe, by President Nixon in an effort to, quote-unquote, you know, stop public enemy number one, whereas alcohol and tobacco companies are actually the largest funders to date of the drug war. So it's a really powerful and insightful song. Enjoy it.
This is one area where we cannot have budget cuts because we must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one in the United States, the problem of dangerous drugs.
Grab a historian, cause back in 72 when Nixon was president, created the drug war, but living in ignorance. The creation of the DEA was said to be heaven sent, but telling to our streets is how they were getting in. An honorary member of the DEA was bringing his own drugs, free from security searches. His name was Elvis Presley. Spreading my benevolence, but seeking out obscurantism, cause I'm living in blindness. Don't patient my kindness, just stand in the line stiff, and that's why the lies spread. Stand up and fight for it, cause we calling it all in. Framing young kids, cause we're moving the most hits. A crack cocaine commission by the CEA is how we got the real gold. As we stand in the line silent, life sentences handed out like candy. Well, that's all fine and dandy, but stand up and grab your sanity.
In the war on drugs, we in New Mexico are in the heart of it. Even though we are a poor state, while over $100 million worth of heroin is sold in a year in Albuquerque, that's $300,000 a day.
For more information, visit the Heroin Awareness Committee's page at saynotoheroin.org. Well, that's our show for tonight.
But first, let's thank the people who made this show possible.
Thank you, Jennifer Wise, for speaking with us about the Heroin Awareness Committee and the great work you all do for the community.
Thank you to Max school teacher Blake Minerly and students Callan Harris, Isaac Lehman, Alexander Wilson, and Ruben Venezuela Jr. for coming in to spread the word about your awesome music project and Sound Oven. Also, thank you to student Floyd Moya, the project cinematographer. Good luck to you all on the final project.
A big thanks to Bashar Jawad and Jocelyn Tafoya, our lovely calendar hosts. And thank you to Melissa Harris and Jaslyn Mendoza for conducting these interviews this evening.
We also want to give credit to all youth involved in Generation Justice: Arturo Castillo, Sayer Keytown,
Harika Reddy, Jeremy Jones, Luna Olivaria Gallegos,
Keone Beatty, Brandon Bitsui, Adam Valdez, and Victor Torres.
Production by Melissa Harris, Roberta Rael, and Adrian Rivas.
Editing by Kamaria Umi. Thanks to other Generation Justice staff for ongoing support, George Luna Pena, Isaiah Smiley, and Generation Justice Director Roberta Rael.
If you'd like to podcast our segments or see the music playlist, you can go to youth.kunm.org. You can also check out the playlist and our website, generationjustice.org.
To find us on Facebook, search Generation Justice. You can also follow us on Twitter at GenJustice.
Tweet, tweet. Don't forget to join us next Sunday, March 11th, here on KUNM at 7 p.m. for the continuation of our show dedicated to heroin and opiate addiction awareness. We will feature interviews with the parents who have lost a child to addiction. I was your host, Gada Jawad.
And I was your host, Travis Aguilar. Spoken Word is coming up next.
Remember that if you or someone you love is suffering from addiction, it's never too late and there's always help out there. For more information, please visit SayNoToHeroin.org.
From all of us here at Generation Justice, good night.